Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Voluntary Chairman. So I'd like to address today a pretty serious question, one that is going to be up front and center as we move forward with agriculture, and that is in terms of meeting the emission reduction targets for N2O. And particularly, can 4R Nutrient Management Stewardship address this? And I'm going to have to constrain this, or else this is going to be days I'll be up here. I'm going to constrain it to my province, which is Manitoba in Canada. Picture North Dakota and Minnesota, and it's just north of that. Okay, that's where that province is. Okay? So the urgency is this. My province, which is very similar in line with the Paris Accord, wants to reduce emissions, greenhouse gas emissions, from 2005 levels by one-third by 2030. That's what I'm calling the short term. After that, we have a lot of really serious stuff, folks. What I tell everybody, tell my students, I tell farmers, is that agriculture will not look the same as it is today. But we're not going to go there today, okay? We're going to use our tools that we have available to us and see what we can do in terms of the best. And I think the best tool we have right now is the 4R Nutrient Stewardship Management, right rate, source, time, and placement. So you know a lot about that, so I'm not going to go into that. The approach here, I have to keep it simple, but we need to still be able to keep it simple, but give us some direction of where we're moving forward here. First, I had to examine the cropped area in Manitoba, and I took the major field crops, their historic planting areas, and then had to forecast for the future. Then had to look at the historic nitrogen application rates for those field crops historically, and then predict for the future. You see what's happening here. We're doing lots of crystal balling. Estimate then the N2 emissions based on the historic and future scenarios. And there's the equation that I use. It's a very simple equation based on nitrogen application rate for the crops, the area for the crops, an emission factor of 0.008, which I negated to put in the equation there. It should be a times 0.008 or 0.8% emission factor, which is for the Tier 2 for Canada. A little bit of funny business there about the molecular weight of N2O and converted to tons and stuff like that, okay? Then based on that, evaluate our 4R studies that we've conducted in Manitoba to find out emission reduction factors. Then apply that to scenarios of adoption of 4Rs moving forward to establish the potential for also the uptake of the practices have to be reasonable. And then I've set here 5 levels of aggressiveness of adoption of 4R practices to see if any of those can meet the goal. Tons of assumptions, pardon the pun. We're looking just at direct N2O emissions only. Like I said, I use the 0.8 emission factor. Major field crops only considered for Manitoba. They make the majority of the nitrogen, comprise the majority of the nitrogen applications. Some assumptions, canola is not going to decline in planting area moving forward in Manitoba. Corn area will increase slightly greater than its historic rate. There'll be no new commercially available enhanced efficiency fertilizers other than urease and nitrification inhibitors. Anhydrous ammonia will remain at 25% of use of total nitrogen in the province, and no enhanced efficiency fertilizer will benefit anhydrous ammonia in terms of reducing N2O, at least that's what our research is showing, and then no use of enhanced efficiency of fertilizers. So enhanced efficiency fertilizers were not available in 2005, and that's pretty safe to say. So this is historic and projected field crop plantings in Manitoba, and the key thing here for you to see is wheat is declining, canola is stabilizing, and soybean is skyrocketing. And that's really key because soybean does what? Fixes its own nitrogen. Awesome. That's good. And this one down here is corn. Corn is increasing slightly. Then we look at the end rates, and voila, what happens? All crops that take up nitrogen are getting more nitrogen per year. And the yields are increasing, right? It's a trend. Corn is increasing at a greater rate. than the others. I've taken this data from the crop insurance data for Manitoba. It's a wonderful storehouse that farmers provide every year about what they're, how they're farming and if they want to get insurance. So we have this conundrum now. End rates are going up, which means into emissions will always be going up as well. So we apply our equation, and this is what we get in terms of ton of N2O per crop. The wheat is declining, going to decline it up to 2030. Canola is going to go up a little bit because of the increased rates and not the acreage. And the corn is going to go up quite a bit, actually, because of the high use of N and increased acreage. And the soybean down here, not much at all. And this is the total N2O emissions, as not doing anything, just as we are now carrying forward with those acreage trends and end use trends. Voila, we stabilize. And why are we stabilizing in Manitoba? Soybean, excellent. So these are the studies that we've done in Manitoba. Many published, many in progress, many have just finished. We have rate studies, fall versus spring, or timing applications. We have an enhanced efficiency fertilizer products. And we have banding studies, in other words, placement studies. I can't go through all of them, but I'm using conservative estimates in terms of what we found, and I'm going to be applying that to the scenarios of for our adaptation moving forward. I've taken data from the Canadian National Fertilizer Use Survey of 500 farmers in Canada, 85 of them in Manitoba. Most of our application nitrogen is in the spring, some is in the fall. The majority of the fall is anhydrous ammonia. The urea is the dominant source here. Subsurface placement, in other words, our farmers are mainly banding as it is. They're actually doing a BMP, which banding reduces N2O emissions in our area. So they're already doing that. And only 10% of farmers in 2015 used enhanced efficiency fertilizers, okay? So at the moment, the adoption is low, so we have a lot of room to move. So this is a non-aggressive scenario, and I'm using the urea as a case here, because that's the one that we can fiddle with. We haven't been able to fiddle to reduce the anhydrous ammonia N2O emissions, and the other is nitrogen rates. This is a 2005 scenario. 35% of all nitrogen is banded urea, 30% is non-banded urea, that's incorporation or surface. Moving forward in our scenario, we would take 50% of the banded and give it enhanced efficiency fertilizer products for a 20% reduction in emissions, take the 30% non-banded, and make half of it banded. Okay? And then the banded would be 50% of that would be enhanced efficiency fertilizers. And that's a 40% reduction going from non-banded to banded with enhanced efficiency fertilizers. Okay, and you, in the bottom, you'll always see the, what the scenario is in a nutshell, 50% enhanced efficiency fertilizers, half amount non-banded. Semi-aggressive, it's 100% use of enhanced efficiency fertilizers in the province by 2030. The aggressive one is 100% enhanced efficiency fertilizers and hold the nitrogen rates constant to 2015 levels. That's aggressive. But wait, there's more. There's the super aggressive, which is 100% use of enhanced efficiency fertilizers, hold the N rates constant, with and eliminate surface application, because that's when we get the most emissions with surface application. And you say you want more? Well, let's give you the super duper aggressive for our action, which is 100% use of EEFs, roll back the nitrogen rates, just like Walmart, and roll them back to 2005 levels, though. That's serious, folks. I've never seen a farmer or a commodity group ever say they want to roll back nitrogen rates and no surface application. So, what happens with these scenarios? This is what we see. This is the emissions as without doing anything. This is the emissions in 2005 area. I've taken the average of 3 years, because 2005 was a low year. We had a bum crop that year. Not much nitrogen went in the ground because it was too wet. Take a third of the reduction of that, takes us to this level here, which is this green bubble. That's the target in 2030. When we go from the non-aggressive to semi to aggressive, super aggressive, it's only the super duper where 100% enhanced efficiency fertilizers, no surface application, complete banding, and we roll back the nitrogen rates to 2005, do we actually get the target? Okay? So can we do it? Yes. Is it going to be liked? No, because primarily it's going to be the N rates. The other ones we can handle, I think farmers can handle the others, changing the source, placement, and all that stuff, not an issue. It's the rates which is going to be our challenging folks. So the work that Rex and Tony are doing and others looking at getting the most out of the nitrogen for productivity is fantastic. Now, they're working with corn. Maybe I argue it's easier with corn than where you have lots of protein in the grain, like canola or wheat. So I think we got a big challenge ahead of us. Uncertainties, of course, galore. This is going to be about 50 slides. Canola area may decrease in the future because of warming. That's why it's stagnant right now. We just found that with too much summer heat, the canola just suffers in many years, so farmers are just holding the ground. They're not increasing acreage. Corn may increase even more than expected. A lot of the major seed companies are actually putting research centers in Manitoba and prairies, Saskatchewan, to increase corn production. Difference between ammonia and urea N2O emissions are very uncertain. At the moment, I'm putting them as the same amount of N2O. Early versus late fall ammonia application. Our research now says very late fall ammonia application produces actually less emissions than spring application. But what happens if it's in September when it's early? Okay, is it more or less? Nitrification inhibitors and ammonia, we really desperately need a nitrification inhibitor for ammonia, because like I say, about one third of our N is anhydrous ammonia. That would give us a good reduction. And the benefits of 4Rs to actually rate reductions, I haven't included here. In theory, we make better use of the nitrogen, we should be able to get by with less nitrogen. So maybe this idea of rolling back rates is not so stupid. And the benefits of 4Rs, the thaw emissions, which is a big factor in our area, it makes about a third of the emissions of thaw, I haven't included here. Lots of conclusions here. Thank God for soybean. Okay, thank God for soybean. Without soybean, we wouldn't have a shot at this almost, I think. Aggressive use and adoption of 4R management is absolutely required. Holding the rates of nitrogen and rolling them back will be extremely challenging. That is our greatest challenge, I believe, not the other components of the 4R. We need an anhydrous ammonia nitrification inhibitor. And I'm going to stress here, we need innovation, particularly in enhanced efficiency fertilizers, and we need an extreme amount of outreach to farmers and how to use these practices so that they can be holding the nitrogen rates. Lots of people to thank, grad students, research associates, technicians, lots of colleagues from lots of conversations, Don Flayton, John Hurd, Brian Amiro, also Prime Minister Trudeau for introducing the concept of carbon tax and getting us really in Canada for the very first time thinking about reducing emissions, Nebo Crops Insurance, the Canadian Fertilizer Use Survey, lots of industry funders, several of you are here in the room right now, and public funders, and then Stratus Ag Research for the Canadian Use Fertilizer Survey. So thank you.